Sheikh, today is a momentous occasion in that we begin the second and definitely most important Sefer Likutei Moran of Rabbeinu Zal's Torah that was said during the later part of his life. And we begin from the Hashmata before the actual Sefer. Rabbeinu Zal quotes the Pasuk in Yechezkel Hanavi, where the Pasuk says, Echod Chaya Avraham. Avraham Avinu was one. Rabbeinu Zal stresses something that we find a person looking in the Shulchan Aruch, a person starting off the Shulchan Aruch, the Arba Chelkei Shulchan Aruch, with hundreds of thousands or millions of halachas, and each one of these halachas is intended to bring a person close to Hashem. That's the purpose of these halachas. You get people who go to yeshiva, they learn day and night, and you would ask, they're learning Gemaras with Tosfos, with Rosh, with Rishonim and Achronim, and you tap one of them on the shoulder, and you ask them very calmly, very simple question, why? Why, in other words, why these halachas? Why the Torah? What's the purpose of all of this? What's it intended to do for me? If I learn this, what's going to happen to me? And most of them never bothered, in other words, they just dove in head first without thinking of what the purpose of Limud HaTorah is, or what the purpose of the Torah itself is b'chlal. Why did Hashem give this to Bnei Yisrael? What's it supposed to do for Bnei Yisrael? The answer is that the Torah is full of advice as to how to come close to Hashem. Different things that a person can do that will bring them close to Hashem, period. That's the degree. When a person gets a degree in studying Torah, a smicha, the smicha doesn't show that what's the purpose of that? What does it show when a person has reached a certain level of achievement? It means he's reached a certain level of coming close to Hashem. And if a person finds that they've learned 1,000 blot of Gemara, and a person looking at such a person finds that that person looks further from Hashem than another person who doesn't know how to read Gemara at all, and yet you see Elokus on this person, you see Frumkeit, you see Yirat Shamayim, it means that that person obviously has not learned the Torah. Ay v'kasha, he sat and learned Gemara with Tosfos, everything. The answer is the Gemara itself says, Beferish, that the Torah is a Sam Chayim or a Sam Oves. That the Torah is something that can be taken, it's a bottle with a liquid in it, Mayim, the Torah is compared to Mayim, it's a very powerful liquid. And the person drinking that liquid has the power to determine whether that liquid is a medicine or, chas v'shalom, a poison. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says in Kriya Shema, v'satem estevorai eila, based on the actions of the person, he's going to determine whether the Torah is going to act as a Sam Chayim for him or a Sam Mavis, a medicine of life or a poison of death. Now Rabbeinu Zal brings in his Sforim that a person wanting to come close to Hashem, a person first starting out in coming close to Hashem, Rabbeinu Zal said, I want to give you a bonus, piece of advice that's going to be very, very helpful. Rabbeinu Zal says you should know that according to how much difficulty a person encounters in the Tchilas HaChasidus, in starting to come close to Hashem, be it difficulty from parents, from friends, be it financial difficulty, be it difficulties in health, any kind of menias that a person experiences in coming close to Hashem in the beginning, that determines to a large extent what that person's hiskarvus, what that person's relationship with Hashem is going to be. According to how difficult it was in the beginning, that's what determines how close the person comes. This is a statement that Rabbeinu Zal makes. Now the question is why? Number one, why and what to explain this whole concept? The fact is that this is so, number one. And because this is the fact, you'll note that if you look at a Shulchan Aruch, the first words of the Shulchan Aruch are not tzitzis, it's not tefillin, it's not hachayvel b'chaveroi. The first words in the Shulchan Aruch are yizgaber ko'ari lamoi babiker, that a person wanting to serve Hashem is going to have to be strong as a lion. Strong as a lion implies there's going to be a fight involved. There's going to be a koyach hamachriach. There's going to be a force that's going to try to repel you. Just as the Gemara says that Hashem and Tzadikim, whenever a person wants to come close to Hashem in the beginning, or when a person wants to come close to Tzadikim in the beginning, the Gemara says that the derech of Hashem and the derech of Tzadikim is Smoil Doiche Yemin Mekarev. That the Haskola is that the left hand pushes away. With the left hand, Hashem pushes away, or with the left hand, a tzaddik pushes away. With the right hand, he's makariv. Which one comes first? Definitely the smil doicha. Just like when Hashem created the world, the pasuk says first, v'ha'aretz ha'isa sayhu v'vayhu v'choshech al pnei sahim. First there was darkness, then v'yemer alikim yihi oer. Hashem said, let there be light. So too, in anything that goes on in this world, there's always first the darkness, then the light. First the hisrachkos, first the pushing away, then the bringing close. Once it's going to be this way, now the Baalei Shulchan Aruch, who were aware of this, knew that if this is the situation, then before a person begins, we have to issue a warning. You have to know that there's going to be a fight involved to get close. There's going to be forces of opposition that are going to be pulling you or pushing you away from Hashem, or away from coming close to a tzaddik who's in a position to bring you closer to Hashem than any other Talmud Chacham or any other tzaddik in the world. Because of this, you're being warned in advance. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, the first words in the Mishnah Berurah are where he warns a person not to look at those who are malikim, those who mock, those who poke fun, those who make fun of, those who are trying to come close to Hashem with sincerity. Now you ask yourself, why in the world, or how in the world, is it conceivable for somebody to make fun of somebody trying to come close to Hashem? That's ridiculous. And yet the Metzius is so, and there's a reason for this. And the majority of the explanation as to the reason as to why this is so is going to be the topic, one of the major topics on Shavuos, the Shir on Shavuos. We're going to talk about the difference between the Yemei HaSfira, the days of Sfira, leading up to Shavuos, the Avoda that we do during Sfira, the Avoda that we do on Shavuos, how those two correspond to these two levels, the Smail Deich and Yemin Makariv, and why it's supposed to be so. What's the benefit to a Jew by going through this pushing and pulling at the same time, and how without this it wouldn't be possible for a person to come close to Hashem. But note, looking at the Shulchan Aruch, we see the Shulchan Aruch begins with this. So too, the Likutei Moran Tanina begins with these words. Rabbi Zal says you should know that Echod Hoya Avraham, Avraham Avinu was one. She Avraham Ovad Hashem Rak Al Yedei Shehoyo Echod. Avraham Avinu, who is one of those about whom the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says very, very emphatically, Asoro Nisyonos Nisnase Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was put through tests in coming close to Hashem. What enabled him to pass all the various different types of tests that he was subjugated to? Rak Al Yedei Shehoyo Echod. The only thing that helped him to be able to pass all of these tests was the fact that he was one. Shechishev bedatoi, he pictured in his mind, he thought in his mind, shehurak yechidi ba'olam, that he was the only one in the world. V'lo yistakel klal al bnei ha'olam shesorim me'achrei Hashem. He ignored completely any people in the world who turned away from Hashem, or tried to prevent him, tried to hold him back from coming close to Hashem. He was able to block them out of his mind completely, to the point where basically the majority of the world at that time, just about everybody except for him, almost everybody except for him, did not believe in Hashem, was against Hashem. So therefore he simply eliminated the rest of the world from his mind. He considered them non-existent, non-entities. So basically, for him, there was one human being that existed. That was himself. V'loy al oviv, he ignored his father, Terach, v'shar hamoinim, and all the other opposition that he had. Rak ki'ilu hu echod ba'olam. He served Hashem, and a person has to serve Hashem in considering it that he's the only one in the world. V'zehu echod hoya Avraham. This is what the pasuk means when it says echod hoya Avraham, that Avraham Avinu was one. He was one in that he eliminated in his mind, he blocked out completely anyone who he thought was not trying to come close to Hashem or could harm his coming close to Hashem. He simply dismembered them in his mind. He caused them to take on a value of zero. Literally, he nullified them. Rabbi Nizal says, V'chein kol haroitze lichnois ba'avodas Hashem. So too, any person who wants to enter into the service of Hashem, i'efshaloi lichnois kiim al yedei b'china zu. I'efshar means impossible. Meaning, if a person says, well, I can't do that, I can't just say that the world is nothing. Any person who says that I can't do that, I can't take on that kind of attitude, you should know Rabbi Elazar says very clearly, it's impossible to really enter into the service of Hashem without having this kind of guts, this kind of strength, this kind of inner strength. Just like the first Seif in Shulchan Aruch tells you that if you want to be successful, if you want to be able to carry out this incredibly complex, quantitative dissertation that we're about to present in the Shulchan Aruch, the first message that we give you is Yizgaber Kari. It's going to require Gevurah, it's going to require strength. So too, Rabbi Elazar says, Bechlal, in coming close to Hashem, you should know it takes this kind of strength. It's impossible to really enter into the service of Hashem and be successful unless a person has this attitude. Sheyachshov, that he thinks, She'ein bo'olam ki im hu levado yechidi bo'olam. He's able to picture in his mind as though he were the only one that existed in the world. And he should ignore completely, he should not look and not give any consideration to any person who tries to hold him back from coming close to Hashem. Such as at times, this could manifest itself in a person's own father or mother who's not religious or sort of not religious or would want to prevent him in any way from coming close to Hashem. A chaisnoi, or a person's father-in-law, ve'ishtoi, or a person's wife, ubonov, or his children, ukiyotze, and anything that falls into this category. Rabbi Elazar saying here, you should know that a person in life goes through constant tribulations, constant situations, where the satan cloaks himself in all kinds of different things to prevent the satan has such a variety of tricks. He presents himself in so many different ways to prevent a person from coming close to Hashem. Children, beautiful Yiddish kinderlich, how do you dare say the satan? The answer is a person wants to go study Torah and the children start telling him, Daddy, come play with us, you never play with us. And that person goes and plays with his children in an excess manner, in a manner that's at a time that he's supposed to be studying Torah, at a time that he should be davening. You should know that those children are in bed. It's just that the satan has used those children as a keli into which to cloak himself, to hide himself. This satan is a master of faces, many faces. He can place himself into all kinds of different people to prevent a person from coming close to Hashem. The Shulchan Aruch says beferish in Yaradeya, in Siman Reish Mem Beis, where it talks about Hilchas Kibud Avayim, the Shulchan Aruch says that if a person is confronted with a situation where a person feels that their major hatzlacha in learning is going to come by going to a certain yeshiva, and his parents don't oppose his hatzlacha in avodas Hashem, his parents say, we want you to go to yeshiva, but based on our experience and everything, we prefer this yeshiva, we want you to go to this yeshiva. The Shulchan Aruch says that this is a situation where the son is not obligated to listen to what the parents say. Hashem says that the son is required to do, to go to the place where he feels he's going to be most successful in avodas Hashem. Now the question is, why does the Shulchan Aruch list this as a shaila? We have to stop to think the fact that this is listed there as an issue means that the Chachonim, the Tzadikim, were aware that this does happen at times. There's going to be generations where a situation is going to come up where the big Tzadikim are going to have opposition from parents at times. And a parent is going to say to a child, it's not that I don't want you to learn Torah, but I don't want you to go to him. I don't want you to learn from him. And the Shulchan Aruch forewarned this and said beferish very clearly that if the child is being honest, we're not talking about a situation where a child feels that one school has a better basketball team and he wants to go there, that's his reason for wanting to go to that school, that's not the situation where he can nullify what his parents say. But if a person feels that he's going to be more successful in serving Hashem by going to learn by a certain Rebbe or in a certain yeshiva, the Shulchan Aruch forewarns, don't be misled. Don't assume that what another person is telling you is right, because many times the manias, the obstacles in coming close to Hashem could come from a father, a mother, a wife, a son, a daughter, a next door neighbor. It could come from all kinds of different places. The There's chairs in the kitchen. Oi, how many is sheesh mi sharbari oilam? Or the obstacles that a person has from other people in the world, hamaligim, who mak, who may cease him, and they try to convince a person to do the wrong thing. Umaynim, and they hold a person back, mi'avoidosis borach, from serving Hashem. Vitzorich, and a person is required, shelo yochush v'yistakel aleihem klal, to be able to strengthen himself to a point where he's able to ignore it completely, not to give it any consideration whatsoever, rak yihye bebechinas echod hoya Avram, but to make himself solid, to make himself one, like Avram felt that he was one, ki'ilu hu yochid bo'ilam, as though he is one in the world. Now, for starters, we can ask a very difficult question on this, because how dare we say a person should make himself like one? What about his Rebbe? What about the person's own Rebbe? At best, let's say a person should picture like this two people in the world, his Rebbe and himself. And even if you want to say, let's say he is the Rebbe, in the Jewish religion there is no Rebbe. There's no Chacham, there's no Chachomim, there's Talmidei Chachomim. Every single Talmid Chacham, every single Rav in Judaism must be the Talmid of another Rav. Going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the one person who was given the title that he was literally the Talmid of Hashem. Moshe Kibel Torah on the Sinai, he was the one whose Rebbe was Kaviyochel Hashem himself. Otherwise, every single person has a Kabbalah from some kind of derivative of Moshe Rabbeinu. If that's the case, why doesn't Rav Elazar say at least to include this item? Rav Moshe Zal says in Likutei Halachos, you should know that many times a person's most major obstacle in coming close to Hashem is going to be his own Rebbe. Now, we're not talking about a Rebbe who's a Rasha, a Rebbe who's not learned and who gives a person bad advice. He says, don't learn, don't daven, don't study Torah, don't come to Minyan. We're talking about a situation where a person has a Rebbe who's religious, who's very concerned for him. And part of his concern, just like Hashem, out of his fantastic love for Avraham Avinu, put him through the Asara Nesiyonis, put him through different tests. He showed him this Smail Deiche before the Amin Makariv, in order for him to be totally successful in coming close to Hashem. He had to go through this darkness first before he could get to the light. So too, any Talmud, any person who wants to come close to Hashem, has to go through a Hisrachkus, a Dachkus, where he gets pushed away, or it looks to him like he's being pushed away, where he goes through different Nisyonos, different tests, where even his Rebbe himself looks like he's making it very difficult for him to come close to Hashem. A person has to be capable of being Echod Hoya Avram, being able to ignore obstacles that come from anywhere. There's nothing in the world that's going to prevent me from coming close to Hashem. Even if my own Rebbe seems to be not concerned, seems to be doing different things by which he's pushing me away, I'm not going to allow that to serve as an excuse. Well, he's pushing me away, or he's doing this and this. Zero. I have my own private situation with Hashem, my own private din v'cheshbon with Hashem, and I can't assume that I'm going to be able to use anybody as an excuse. My parents didn't let me, my wife, this, that, all of that. The Gemara says many, many cases, the Gemara says a husband whose wife rules him, we have no rachmonis over him. And these other situations, many times, it's the same thing. A person says, what could I do? They didn't let me. What could I do? They told me this and this. Many times the person is going to be told that part of being religious is a certain degree of maturity, a certain degree of not being a baby. A baby gets smacked or something, the baby gets insulted and it goes and mopes, or different things like that. A person who wants to be successful in Avodas Hashem, the first words in the Shulchan Aruch, the first words in this Sefer Likutei Moran are a warning. Be careful. Be careful to be capable, to strengthen yourself, to have the potential of being able to block out everything from your mind and just concentrate on coming close to Hashem. Anything that's going to bring you closer to Hashem, use it. Do it. Anything that won't, you have to be able to flick a switch in your head and obliterate it. It's gone. It goes away completely and it doesn't stay there. It doesn't stagnate and prevent you, hold you back from coming close to Hashem. This is the Hakdama. And this is a perfect lead-in to the first Torah in the Likutei Moran Tanina. Now we see how this is tied in. Because the first Torah in the Likutei Moran Tanina is called Tikkun Mishalah, where Rabbeinu Zal talks about the Memshala, the Malchus, the fact that the Gemara says in many places that Yidden are called Bnei Malachim, where princes, each Yid is considered, is called a prince. How is a prince supposed to act? How is royalty supposed to be act? Is he allowed to get himself dirty? Is he allowed to humble himself in certain ways? What is he supposed to do? What is he not supposed to do? That's going to be the first time.
Doing this, you know, could be like a selfish
act. Definitely. Which, the Gemara says one very clear statement implying that a person in certain ways is supposed to be selfish. Chayecho koyvim. Chayecho koyvim. Just as when it comes to parents, Hashem says, Ato v'ovicho chayovim b'choydi. Person who wants to say that my parents don't let me go to this and this shir or something like that, Hashem says that's not an excuse because you and you're required to respect your daddy. That's a mitzvah. Your daddy says, kibodov, true. But you and your daddy are required to respect me. Ato v'ovicho chayovim b'choydi. Which means that at times, a person has to be selfish in a certain way. A person has to be able to say that the whole world was created for me. And if it looks to me at any point in time that anything is making it difficult for me to come close to Hashem, I'm not going to let it get in the way. Nothing could possibly block me or hold me back from coming close to Hashem. Now, at the same time, part of being selfish is that if the Torah tells us that if you want your tefillah to be answered by Hashem quickly, one of the best tricks is Hamispalel ba'ad chaveroi hunen etchila. If you show concern for another Jew, Hashem shows tremendous concern for you. Then you know that part of this selfishness means being very unselfish. Part of the definition of being selfish means to be unselfish. Part of the definition of being selfish means not to be an achzor on yourself, not to be a mean, rotten person to yourself and allow yourself to watch television or to do other things, chas v'shalom, rather than, and lose out on the beauty and the wealth of Gan Eden or different things that Hashem has to offer to a person who does mitzvahs versus the other way.
Well, to the concept of a Rebbe who would rather spend time, you know, on avodah,
right?
You know, he feels that if he spends time, say, with Talmidim or giving classes, whatever, he's distracted from his own life.
Okay, the first words in the Tur Shulchan Aruch are that a person has to be not Ari alone is not enough. To be strong as a lion, if you picture, I've done millions of push-ups, a guy goes to Jack LaLanne's for 18 hours a day, he becomes literally strong enough to take on a lion. That kind of physical strength, that kind of spiritual strength, is it enough to be successful in Avodas Hashem? The answer is definitely not. The Torah in Shulchan Aruch quotes the words of the Tana Elikai, Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema, who said, Hevi gibor ko'ari, rotz katzvi, as kanomer, lavoidas boiroi. As kanomer, that part of serving Hashem, part of coming close to Hashem, means a necessity for a certain concept of chutzpah. Chutzpah means this takes chutzpah. Hashem is busy with malachim, Hashem is busy with billions of things. How do I dare have the audacity to say, Hashem, listen, I looked at my shoes this morning and I see the soles look like they're getting rubbed out. And right now, I don't know if I have money. I got my check. I can't. I don't know if I have enough money. The Yontif is coming. I'd like to perform the mitzvah of buying new clothes for Yontif. Please give me the money that I need to be zeich to be mekayim the mitzvah of buying clothes for Yontif. A person would say, you know what kind of a chutzpah this takes? You know what kind of audacity this takes? If the person were a tzaddik, to have the audacity to speak to Hashem about such simple things, that's if the person were a tzaddik. Picture the other way, chas v'shalom, we who are constantly doing things, chas v'shalom, rachmono l'tzlan, against Hashem. Hashem says to learn, we don't learn. Hashem says to be nice to people, we're not nice to all of these different things. And then you have the chutzpah to go and say you're sorry. After you say you're sorry, you go do it again. You keep coming back. You know how much Azus chutzpah is involved in coming close to Hashem? It requires Az kanona. Hashem says, b'feresh, you should know that if I ever wanted to tell you that you're a chutzpanyak, I could tell you. And yet, this is what you're required to do. The Gemara says that Lo nitna Torah lebnei Yisrael, elo mipnei she'azin heim. The only reason why the Yidden was zeicher to get the Torah from Hashem was because they displayed Azus. Azus is chutzpah, in a way. Hashem said, I have a whole sequence of mitzvahs. Hashem came kaviyochol to Bnei Yisrael like a professor, with the glasses, the bifocals. I have this complex document with all kinds of algorithms and mathematical calculations of sukkah and this and erev and to give you. The Yidden said, Nasa v'nishma, blip. You have this whole thing, you're ready to explain to us for 10,000 hours what you want to present. We don't even want to hear the presentation. Masiv, accepted. You know what kind of a chutzpah? In a sense, that's a chutzpah. That's a display. In other words, a person whose chutzpah jumps to speak, a person who's humble, quiet, wait. The Gemara says, because they said that Masiv and Ishmael, that's why they were zecha to get the Torah from Hashem, and they over all other nations. Which means, at times, it definitely does require Nazus. The fact that a person approaches any Talmud Chacham in this world, a person who's on a lower level than somebody else, and approaches him and spends 1 minute of his time, isn't that act itself an act of chutzpah? You know that this person could be, anything that this person would do on his own would seem to be more important than what he's going to be doing with you. How dare you take from his? The Shulchan Aruch warns, we're aware of all of this. You should know that if you're going to take that attitude, you're not going to come close to Hashem. Ayokasha, is it true? The answer is yes. In a way, it's true. It's possible. If you don't elevate yourself, if you fall away or something like that, then it's possible that the time that was spent on you could have been spent better. But if a person is zeichet to use the time of a tzaddik or a talmud chacham and to speak to him and to ask him questions and everything, and in doing so he brings himself close to Hashem, that's considered the highest form of considered the highest mitzvah that a tzaddik could do, a talmud chacham could do, is take one who's low and bring him close to Hashem. That's the highest cover of Hashem possible. Elamai, on the part of the person, at times it takes a chutzpah. Now you should know the same Shulchan Aruch that says Hebi Az Kanomer says Az Ponim LeGehenim. There's a very, very fine line that has to be drawn. Oh, if that's the case, and if I call up and he says he doesn't have time, I tell him jump in a lake. You better have time because the Shulchan Aruch said Hebi Az Kanomer. A person could get a death penalty. The Gemara says He Zoharu Bigachalton Shemot Yikover. You're playing with hot coals. Be very, very careful. Elamai. A person has to know that there is a necessity of Echad HaYavon. There's a necessity, a person has to be able to say that I believe this big Talmud Chacham, he's much more of a Talmud Chacham than I am. But I believe that he's not the purpose for which this world was created. You know why? He's a Talmud Chacham, he's a finished product. The whole world was created for me. You know why he was put into the world? He has nothing to correct, he has nothing to fix. He was put into the world to fix me. He's my doctor, this one is my lawyer, this one is my shamus, this one is my employee. Everyone is in the world. A Jew has to say the whole world was created for me. Now this could, chas v'shalom, lead to an arrogance. We know that Toyabas Hashem kol gvalei, the thing that Hashem despises more than anything in the world is gaiva. So this is like such a delicate point. It's incredibly delicate. On one hand, I have to be Az, and on one hand, I have to have this guts, I have to be able to jump sometimes, to do wild things, and at the same time, there's a tremendous warning, Az, ponim l'gehenim, chas v'shalom. I have to be very careful, I'm walking on a very tightrope in trying to come close to Hashem. And yet, without these ingredients, I'll never make it. Without having the Azus, I'm not worthy of being a Jew. The Pasuk says, Hashem Oiz Lama Yitain. The Torah is called Oiz, Miloshen Azus. It requires this Azus. That's why the first Sif in Shulchan Aruch, the first Sif here, is Memshoah. You know, to be a Jew, the first thing you need is Malchus. We're climbing up the Spirois and coming close to Hashem. The first Midah that you encounter is the Malchus. You want to come close to Chachma Bina Vistad, you have to start off with Malchus. You have to have a certain degree of... Because if you're going to say you're a nothing has a nothing come to have any shaychus to Hashem. If you're going to believe that you're a total nothing, a total waste, then you're not going to have any reason, it's not going to be significant to you for you to struggle to come close to Hashem. But if you realize that you're very important and the whole world is dependent on you, like the Gemara says, a person has to picture at any point in time that the world is chetzi chayev, chetzi zakai, that the whole world right now is balanced. There's exactly the same amount of mitzvahs and averas in the world. And the next mitzvah or avera that I do is going to tip the scales for the whole world. If you're going to think that way, that's not going to lead you to a gaiva. That's going to lead you to a humbleness. You're going to be terrified to do an avera. You're going to understand that you play a very significant role in the Bria, and you're going to be much more meticulous about what you do in life. You're going to be much more careful to sit with the Sir Hashem the right way. Rabbi Nizal bases this too.
Yeah, but you said they had no rechmanas on a person's wife, a person who loses his wife too much.
Right.
But Rabbi Nizal once said something about a person who has a very bad wife will never see Gehenna.
Right.
And this is life of Chaim.
One has nothing to do with that.
Because you wrote a story of somebody who couldn't keep Shabbos properly and another mitzvah, and the Baal Shem Tov, and this person in Shemayim was exonerated because his wife was always making life miserable and kept him from keeping the mitzvahs.
Some say, number one, the Gemara says that a person who goes through suffering in life, through a life, that can serve as a tremendous kafara for him. The Gemara says that can save him from seeing the place of pain. Because that's considered such a spectacular means of suffering, at the same time, that can't necessarily be used as an excuse for not coming close to Hashem. The same Gemara that says that says that a person who allows his wife to rule him, we have no one wants his child. As I said, if his Talmud and his Mekorotim, the most important chapter for the year is Rosh Hashanah. And this Torah was said three Rosh Hashanahs before the passing of Rabbi Nizal, before Rabbi Nizal's Histalkus. And he based this Torah, as the other ones, the subsequent ones, on the two following Rosh Hashanahs, on the Pasuk Tiku Bachide Shefar Bakes Al Yem Chageinu, Ki Chaykli Yisrael Hu Mishpat Al Kei Akim, the special Pasuk that we say by the Shamru, in place of the Shamru that we say on Shabbos, the special Pasuk that we say on Yamin Tovim, this is what he based these Torahs on. Rabbi Nizal begins by saying, Ki ish ha-Yisraeli nivra sheyihi eloi memshola al ha-malochim. A Jew was created so that he should have rulership over the malochim. Now the question is, how do we know this? Where do we see what a Jew was created for? Well, let's analyze the pasuk where it says that a Jew was created. The pasuk says that when Hashem first conceived about creating a Jew, Hashem said, Na'ase Odom betzalmenu kitmusenu. Na'ase Odom, let us make man. The Gemara says, who's the us? Who's the us? The Pamalia Shalmala. Hashem was discussing this item with the Malachim. Why? Why? Why was Hashem discussing this with the Malachim? One of the reasons that the Gemara gives and that the Tikkuni Zohar gives is to show the humbleness on the part of Hashem. Hashem wanted to teach a person an Eitzah Tova. Every Jew should know an Eitzah Tova, that many times, even if you're the smartest one within a Chabura, if you're involved in a decision-making process, many times it's advisable to confer with other people. So as because this item of Eitzah is so difficult an item, it's so easy at times to make a mistake in the Birur HaMedamin, in being able to figure out right from wrong. Sometimes the mix is so intricate that it's so hard to be able to decipher the right from wrong. So the Torah warns that this is a tremendous Eitzah Tova to humble yourself and discuss it. Even with ones who are less smart than you, many times you'll be able to learn from them. As the Gemara says, Umi Talmida Yoser Mikulam. So this is an Eitzah Tova as far as humbleness is concerned and as far as being able to come out with Eitzah Tova. Excuse me. Fine, that's one reason. If that were the case, why didn't Hashem discuss it with the trees? Why the Malachim? Why was this issue deliberated with the Malachim specifically? For this, Rav Nachman Shigurinzal quotes a piece in the Tikkuni Zohar, which is very, very important, because here we're going to understand exactly why this took place, and how in understanding this, we're going to understand what the purpose was for a Yid, in the creation of a Yid. The Zohar HaKadosh says, on this Pasuk, Na'ase Odom Betzalmenu Kedmusenu, the Zohar HaKadosh says, number one, that the reason why Hashem said, Omalei Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar said to his father, Rabbi Shimon, V'hokut shebarichu ad de'is yoetz b'chelen delay, Hashem, until he took advice with his armies, lo'y hava ovid la'odom, he didn't create man, until he discussed it with the malachim. The Omar Nase Odom, because the word Nase is used, which means plural. Omar Leis, Rabbi Shimon Yechayzal answered him, so he asked why. Rabbi Shimon Yechayzal answered him, La'ilfa derech eretz lebnei nosha, to teach people derech eretz, good manners, the notil ravrivo eitzo midezeer mine, that at times it's advisable for a person who's greater to take advice from one who's lower than him. What's a perfect example of this? No, no. What you said before, the Gemara says, Itzach gutza, if your wife is short, gochin v'lochishla, bend down and listen to what she has to say. The Gemara says, at times, it's even advisable for a person to listen to his wife. There are times, the wife of Ein ben Peles, she was the one who rescued him. He could have been destroyed with Kairach and all his buddies. She was the one who rescued him. So at times, the Gemara says, it's advisable for a person to bend down and take advice even from the one who's lower than him. The husband is supposed to be the melech in the family, the meishel, and yet, just as Hashem is the meishel, and yet at times we say, Na'ase Adam. It's advisable to confer. Sometimes yes, sometimes not. V'loi oid, Rabbi Shimon Yochai said, not only that, that's not the only reason. There's a different secret here. That Lemalko, this is comparable to a king, the Havalei Shlicha Mehemna, who had a very worthy servant, and he wanted to reward this servant. He liked him very much. He wanted to give him a very major reward. Omar Lecheiloi, so he said to his armies, to his officers, I want to take this individual, this officer who's so outstanding, and I want to make him a ruler over you. Note, in appointing one as a leader over them, he wanted to confirm with them first to see if they would be willing to accept this one to rule over them. Who did Hashem confer with? Hashem conferred with the Malachim to see if they would be willing to accept Adam, to accept man as a ruler over them. Begin Dahavi Mehemna, because he is very trustworthy. Because man, Hashem said, Adam is the most trustworthy servant that I have. E isman diyoda beimilo achro yema. Hashem said, if there's anyone here who has anything to say in opposition to this, let him speak now, or forever hold his peace. The Zohar Kodesh says, "Bezimna deloy ashkach mekatregale," and at a moment when there was nobody to be mekatreg against man, Omar Naase Odom. That's when Hashem said, "Let us go ahead and make man." In other words, he waited until he saw there was no kitrug. The kitrug had been quieted, and then Hashem said, "Let us go ahead and create man." The Zohar Kodesh says, "Vesu Naase Odom." Beino Odom, Diavit Pikude Oiraiso, Vishtadel Boiraiso, Lovdola Shamra. Hashem said, we need man who will study Torah and who will perform the mitzvahs asay and the mitzvahs lois asay the Torah. Vihele Agra Tova, and he will receive very, very good reward. Vishultonu Aleichu, and he will rule over you. He will rule over the Malachim. Vido Ihi, this is what the Pasuk means, which is quoted in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, where the Pasuk says, Netzer Mato'ai, the creation of my planting, Hashem planted, this was the creation that came forth from Hashem's planting, Ma'ase Yodai Lehispo'er, the creation, the forming of my hands, Lehispo'er, about which Hashem is Mispo'er, meaning, he gloats about this. To whom was Hashem Mispo'er? About man? To the Malachim. Hashem was Mispo'er about man, to the Malachim, praising man to the Malachim. Because the heavenly angels, although they're very strong and they perform the will of Hashem, they are not performing any major act of gevura in conforming with the will of Hashem. Why? The inun polchin behechrich, because they serve Hashem, because they are muchrach to, they are forced to, they have no option. Valeslin Eruva de Bisra ve Yitzra Bisha. They have no mixture within them of flesh and Yetzer Hara. A Jew has a neshama. The neshama has mixed into it a cholent, a guf made up of flesh and blood, going along with all the taivas that a guf possesses, taivas shena, taivas achila, taivas noshim, taivas mamain. That's problem number one. The guf, with all of its idiosyncrasies, plus if that's not enough of a problem, he's got a resident pain in the neck. He's got the Yetzirah residing within him also causing problems. Ubegindo, that's why Hashem said, Nase Odom, let us create man, v'yishloit bechu, and this man will be in a position to rule over the Malochim. Ha'udachsiv, that's why the Pasuk says, v'yirdu b'degas hayom u'ba'if hashamayim. He will rule over the degas hayom, over the fish of the ocean, and the birds of the heavens. V'su, Nase Odom, more so, these words Nasodom, Hashem said, "Ano yohiv beinish moso." I will place into him a neshama. Dichsiv b'tzalmenu. The word tzalmenu this means that Hashem will place into him a neshama. Uchsiv ach b'tzelem yishalechish. Va'atun yohavi bei, and you, the malachim, will place into the person rucha v'nafsha. Hashem provides the neshama. The malachim provide the ruach and nefesh. The ara and the earth, arba yisoidin, the earth will provide its dalad yisoidis, fire, water, dirt, and wind. Ve'id melekola, and this one will appear to be a kailel of everything. Eloin v'tatoin. Man will now be a kailel of everything. He has a part that comes from Hashem, a part that comes from Malachim, a part that comes from all the earth. Oma dereina delehevi sholit umimna alaychu, and Hashem said, "This that I want, that this Adam, this man, should rule over you, the Malachim." Atzdiku dino dili. Hashem addressed the Malachim and he said, "I want you to be matzdik this din. I want you to accept this gzera from Hashem." V'yehei bereu delechoin, and I want this to be willingly. I don't want you to accept it because you're being forced. I want you to accept this willingly. In other words, Kaviyachol Hashem presented this to the Malachim as a vote, in a sense. De'ano ashrei shmi alei. Hashem said, because I plan to rest my name upon man, to place my name into this Odom. V'chais meidili biyodei, and I will place my seal within him. De'ihu chaisom habris. The seal of the Bris Kodesh, that's where Hashem will place his name. Hashem's name Shakai will be in the narrow places of a person. By the Bris Kodesh, Hashem will place his name within a human being. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Malochim the Sitra Yemino, the Malochim who were situated Kaviyochel on the right side of Hashem, Borchulei, they blessed Hashem. The Omru, and they said, Naase v'nishma. The Malochim said, Naase v'nishma. Note, the Gemara says that when the Yidden said Naase v'nishma, what happened? Those who learned Masech the Shabbos, what happened? The Malachim said, who revealed this side? Who revealed our secret to mankind? What secret? When did the Malachim say Naase v'nishma? You learned Gemara, you don't know, the Gemara doesn't say. The Zohar HaKadosh says there was a time when the Malachim said Naase v'nishma. When Hashem presented this question before the Malachim of Chesed said, before we understand this fully, Hashem, if you're willing to invest in this stock, we're buying into it. Without reading the prospectus or anything, we're willing to buy into this item called Adam, and we're willing to accept him as a ruler over us. We're willing to accept the fact that he's going to be given the capability to rule over us. Hahudach said, that's why the Pasuk says, Baruchu Hashem Malachov Giborei Koyach Oisei Devoroi Lishmoya Bekoil Devoroi. The Malachim blessed Hashem Oisei Devoroi Lishmoya Bekoil Devoroi. About the Malachim it's written, Oisei Devoroi Nase Lishmoya Bekoil Devoroi. Nase V'nishma. That there were a group of Malachim who said Nase V'nishma, and they blessed Hashem. When? At this time, in this situation, when they were confronted with this decision. And the Yisrael HaKadosh says, V'do Matat. This refers especially to the Malach Memtes, who's one of the leading good angels in heaven, period, etc. The Yisrael HaKadosh says, V'havu Achronin. There were other Malachim, D'havu Soninlei, who hated mankind, who were opposed to man, V'amru, and they said,
more enoish ki siskarenu, as the Gemara says there in Shabbos. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to heaven to receive the Torah, there were malachim who said, more enoish ki siskarenu. Hashem, why do you bother to deal with this mortal man? Why are you willing to give him your most prized treasure? The Zohar HaKadosh says, and the Zohar HaKadosh continues to say different things, tying this in that this wasn't Azon Azoel, this was others who are similar to Azon Azoel, because Azon Azoel were destroyed earlier. They were a unit of Malachim or Makatre at a different time, they were destroyed. This was a similar unit, though, that there were Malachim who were opposed to mankind. Rav Nachman Shigurinzal quotes this piece in the Tikkuni Zohar. Once we understand this, you're going to see how Rabbeinu Zal, in other words, picture this. We learned Chumash, we learned Gemara, and we never learned the Taich of Na'aseh Adam. If we simply know how to Taich those words, Na'aseh Adam, we're going to understand a Jew's mission on this world. That what was a Jew designed, a person designs a computer. What determines the design? What he's planning to use it for. If he's planning to use it for scientific calculations, he doesn't need a lot of core, he doesn't need a big memory, billions of bytes, he needs speed. He needs something that's able to do billions and billions of calculations within a small time, within a very fast frame time. Those who are familiar, the computers, the Star, other ones, computers that are used to do high calculation, you know, incredible volumes of calculations, don't necessarily have the same specs as a computer that's being used for commercial applications, where you're trying to process 10 million accounts in a bank or in a brokerage firm. There the computer is designed totally differently. If we understand the purpose, the kavono, when Hashem created mankind, we're going to understand a lot about the way in which a human being was designed and what he's designed to do. All of this is marumas in those two words, Na'aseh Odom. The word Na'aseh tells you everything. Na'aseh means that this was a decision that was discussed with the Malachim. Why? Because the main mission of man was going to be to rule, to achieve a level where he could rule over the Malachim. This is going to be the basis for this whole Torah. Rabbeinu Zal is going to explain what this means and how it's done. Rabbeinu Zal says, Kisha Yisraeli Nivrosh, Yelei Memshala Malachim. A Jew was created to have rulership over the Malachim. Vezeh HaTachlis VaHasayif Shel Yisrael. This is the Tachlis, this is the goal, and this is the peak of achievement of a Jew. Kemoisham Razal, as the Yerushalmi says in the Sechta Shabbos, Asidim Tzadikim Sheyiyem Mechitzosom Lifnim Mimalachi Ashores. There are tzaddikim who are going to achieve a level where their boundary, their seats, are going to be closer to Hashem than those of the malachim. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Navi, Ko'es Yoimar LeYaakov Uli Yisrael. There's going to come a time when the Yidden are going to say to Yaakov and Yisrael, Ma Po'al Keil. What is Hashem doing? In other words, the Malachim are going to want to know what Hashem is doing. Who are they going to ask? They're going to ask the ones who are situated, seated closest to Hashem, to know what's happening. When a person who's not close to a certain person, to a leader, to a politician, wants to know what the government is planning, what does he do? He asks the officers that are closest to that leader, to that politician. The Pasuk says, Ko'es Yemer Liyakov Yisrael Ma Po'el Keil. Why doesn't it say Ko'es Yemer LeBnei Avraham? Why Dafka Liyakov Yisrael? Because Yaakov Avinu is the one, well, the Pasuk says, why was he called Yisrael? Ki Soriso Im Elokim Vatuchal. Yaakov was the one who symbolized this memshola over the malachim, ruling, fighting it out with a malach, and coming out victorious. We are called Bnei Yisrael. Here again, Rabbi Meir Daik Bishmo. Rabbi Meir used to look at the name of a person. He knew the guy's name. He knew everything about that person. A Jew never stops to think, what's the name of the Jewish nation? If I know their name, I'll know what their mission is. The name of the Jewish nation is Bnei Yisrael. We call it Bnei Yisrael. That tells us what our mission is. There's a pasuk in Chumash that says, what does the word Yisrael mean? Why was he called Yisrael? Ki sariso im elikim. Yisrael means Miloshin Sar, to be able to rule over Kael. Malachim all have that word Kael within their names, Michael, Gavriel, to rule over a Malach. That's the main tachlis and soif of a Yid in this world. Rabbi Nizal says, Shehamalochim yitztarchu lishol miYisrael. The malochim are going to have to ask the Yidden, kishayirtzu leida ma po'al kel. When they're going to want to know what Hashem is doing, they're going to have to ask the Yidden. Now, no, just a side item, we always like to try to mention Chidushei Torah in the name of our Rebbe Zechrono Livracha, because anything that we know in this Sefer, any of our learning or anything like that, is credited to him. He's the one who taught just about everything we know. Rebbe Zal once mentioned what the Sifrei Kabbalah bring, that you should note, why taka don't we call ourselves B'nai Avraham, or B'nai Sarah Imenu, or B'nai Yitzchak? The word Yisrael, the Sifrei Kabbalah bring, the reason why that word is used is because that word is Kailel, the Gimel Avos, and the Arba Imo'os. The word Yisrael is the Rashi Tevos of the three forefathers of the Jews and the four mothers of the Jews. Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov is Aleph and Yud. The Rosh Hashanah are Aleph and Yud, which are contained in the word Yisrael. The Imohois, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah, Shin, Reish, Lamed, Yisrael, the word Yisrael, when we say B'nai Yisrael, it's as though we were saying that we are B'nai Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Leah. Because the Rosh Hashanah Yisrael make up all the Avos and all the Imohois. But yet, Taich, Ein Mikra Yetze Midei Pshutai, Taich, the word Yisrael means to rule over Malochim. No, this is from the Sifrei Kabbalah. Sifrei Kabbalah brings. He's the one who mentioned it to us. Rabbi Nizal says, "V'tzorich kol echad lirois sheyavoi lo zeh hatachlis." Aha! If that's my name, then I would think that this is automatic. This is not automatic. Each and every person has to strive to achieve this goal. Sheyihi Eloi memsholo al hamalochim, to achieve a level whereby he can rule over malochim. Yaakov Avinu didn't start off ruling over a malach. He worked very, very hard. He studied tremendous Torah, and he poured out his heart saying Tehillim, those 14 years that he was in the Beis Midrash of Shem Ve'Ever, begging Hashem, davening, elevating himself to a level where he was zeichet to be able to take on the Malach himself and rule over him. Rabbi Nizal says, so that's the goal. That's your mission. Your mission is to be able to rule over an angel. Al pi pshat, in the simplest form, our basic mission in life is to overcome the Yetzer Hara. That's one basic malach we're all trying to overcome. But here Rabbi Nizal says that we're trying to achieve rulership over all the malachim. Na'ase odom, Hashem said b'feirish, I'm going to create one who has the potential to rule over all the malachim. Note, the malach in heaven who rules over all the malachim, who's the leading angel in heaven, the malach memtes, who came from a human being, Chanoich. Chanoich was a human being, Esualikim is Hale Chanoich. Chanoich was a human being who achieved this Nemshola over the Malachim. In an obvious manner, this is the sign of the Malach Memtes who achieved this rulership over the Malachim. Rabbi Nizal says, and who ruled over the Malach Memtes? The Malach Memtes is called Matat Sar Haponim. Rabbi Nizal says the first letters of Matat, Sar Haponim, make up Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Tzaddik, is the one who rules over this Malach, who rules over all the ancient angels in heaven. That's Taichi Mate Elikim Biyadi. Moshe Rabbeinu was showing that he had the power of this Mate, this Malach Memtes, was in his hand. He could sway into any way he would want. Ach Tzorich Lishmar Atzmoi Ma'oid. Rabbi Nizal says, you should know, the Gemara says in Perkei Avos, Harabonus Mikaberes is Ba'alecho, that if your mission in life is to be a ruler, when it comes to ruling, a person who tries to rule is in tremendous sakona. What's the sakona? That those who you're ruling over are going to get jealous, and they'll want to overthrow the king, overthrow the leader. Rabbi Nizal says, Ach Tzorich Lishmar Atzmoi Ma'oi, the person has to watch himself very carefully, Valirois, and to see to it, Sheyihi Eloi Koyach Lamoid B'memshol Azu, to see to it, to strengthen himself, to have the strength to stand with, to maintain this rulership, Sheloi Yekanu Boi Malachi HaShoreis, so that the Malachim should not get jealous of him, V'yapilu Oisei Chasashon, and cause him to fall, cause his rulership to be overthrown. Ki hamalochim mekanim ma'oid ba'odom chozeh sheyesh lo nemishol aleihem. Because the Gemara tells us that the malochim have tremendous jealousy towards a person who they see rules over them. Kemoi shemotzinu shamrazal, as the Gemara says in Chagiga, in discussing the Dalet Nichnesu Lepardes, the four tzaddikim who went up very, very high, and three out of the four seem to have failed completely, al kamo gedolim. The Gemara there discusses many gedolim shebikshu malachai ashores ladechvoi. The Gemara says there shebikshu malachai ashores ladechvoi. The Gemara says about Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says af Rabbi Akiva bikshu malachai ashores ladechvoi. Not only Acher got knocked down through a malach, and not only the others, Ben Zayma, Ben Azai, were affected by this kinas hamalachim. But the Gemara says there even Rabbi Akiva bikshu malachai ashores ladechvoi. The malachim wanted to push him away. They didn't want to allow him. They were jealous of him. They didn't want to allow him to get closer to Hashem than they did. The Gemara says, "Amar lehem Hakadosh Baruch Hu, hanichu lezokein zeh, leave this zokein alone, sheroi hu lehishtamesh b'chvaydi, because he is worthy to be mishtamesh with my kavod," implying that this is not an easy item. This is a very difficult item. We see that even against Rabbi Akiva, there was opposition. The Gemara says, "Beferish." That they wanted to push him away. So every Jew has to be aware that there is this kinah, and he has to be very careful to watch himself, to protect himself, that the malachim should not be able to topple him from this position of rulership. How? How does a person guard himself from being toppled? Those are going to be the opening words in the next paragraph. V'ho eitzal zeh, what's the advice? That's going to be the continuation of the story.
This is only the Bein Malachim who are this jealous and try to tackle.
The answer is, in the most obvious manner, it's the Bein. In other words, the Tikkuni Zera shows you clearly that you had this split. There were Malachim who were in favor of man, who were egging him on. Each person has these two Malachim within him. The Yetzer Tov, who's rooting for his success. Bravo, go get him, knock him out. And this other Malach, who's looking to topple him. So generally, there is this split. The Gemara says that when a Jew comes home Friday night from shul, he comes into the house, there are two malachim being malabahim, a malach of toiv and a malach of ra. If he comes into the house and he sees the table is set beautifully and his wife is dressed for Shabbos and the candles are lit and the table is set bekovoy the right way, the Gemara says that the malach toiv says, halavai, this person should be zeicha next week again to have such a beautiful table before him. And the other malach is required to answer amen. To answer amen to the bracha of this one. If not, if chas v'shalom the house is not set up properly, then the bad malach gets to give a klala to this person that his house should always look like such a mess, chas v'shalom, and the malach toiv is forced to answer amen. So we see that there is this battle even among the malachim, that there are malachim who are looking to topple the yidden in a sense, and there are malachim who are rooting in favor of the yidden. Why? It's based on the fact that they all aware of the fact that you didn't have this power to rule over them. And whenever somebody is ruling over somebody, he's in a position of sakona. Horabonis mikaberes is ba'alel. There's sakona. The grave is open for him. It's very easy for him to be toppled, chas v'shalom. Rabbi Ezel is going to discuss the shmira for this. Now we know what our mission is. We've been given the instructions of our mission, and we've been told that it's a mission impossible, just about. Picture, it's hard enough to rule over your wife and kids. We're being told to rule over Malachim. It's a pretty dangerous mission. Rabbi Nazar says, we're going to give you, don't worry, we're not sending you out just like this. We're going to give you advice, you're going to be able to succeed completely.
Adam, this is a big thing in creating. Why wasn't Adam Avraham Avinu? Right off the bat, why did we need so many divers just to get to Avraham Avinu if Adam is sort of like a completion? Because Adam is the Kailil
of all of mankind, including Avraham Avinu. Those who study the Sefer Kabbalah know that Avraham Avinu is part of Adam Arishin. Everything, all 600,000 Shemites of Bnei Israel were Nichal and Adam Arishin. Adam Rishon spans, the Aleph stands for Adam, the Dalet is David, the Mem is Mashiach. He spans from the beginning to the end of time. So it's not that simple. Because obviously there's tremendous silence in who Adam Rishon was and what and when, etc.
A little bit confused because first of all, I used to hear that Malachim were defined as Kaychas. Second, Malachim, they were defined as forces.
Correct.
And then you go ahead and say that what the sages meant from a malach is the fact that a man has behira. So what did all these malachim say, let's do it this way, and amen to this and that? I mean, if they're just forces, then I no more sense does it make. And I have to say that the electricity going through that bulb, you know, could affect me one way or the other. Or
the answer is that we see kaviyochol Hashem in his infinite modesty. Let's say a person sends a shliach. We have halacha in Shulchan Aruch, Shluchei Shalom Kamaisan. If I send a person on a mission to do something for me, generally we say that that shliach is like me, because if I send him on a mission, it shows that probably I assume that he would not do any differently than I would. Malach, the word malach in Hebrew means shliach, a messenger. The malachim was shluchim of Hashem. Usually, 99.999999% of cases, they have no option other than to simply be mevatel their das Hashem. We see here that the Tikkuni Zohar, as the Gemara in a few places makes us aware, that kavyochol Hashem in his infinite modesty, let's say by you, you have a situation where you want to make a decision, and you want to be able to get a proper, no, it's a decision, so I'll ask one friend, I'll see what he has to say. That's baloney. That's not going to give you a good panorama to choose from. You need a few people. You have to ask one whose nature is he's hot-headed. Then you have to ask one whose nature is he's a dull head. You know, quiet, doesn't make a sense. You have to try to ask a variety, and pick from the variety, you understand what the pshara is, what the center is, you understand what the best etzah is. By listening to 2 or 10 or 20 sides, you can pick out which one is the best, right? Kaviyocho, how could this be by Hashem? How could Hashem present for himself, kaviyocho, an option, in a sense, to be able to almost, that it should seem like he's presenting an option where he's discussing it with those who are lower than him? If he just presented one das, then there's nothing to discuss. Kaviyochel. This is why Kaviyochel, Hashem created malachim who are sort of on the side of chesed, sort of on the side of din. There's no question at all that they can't go against Hashem. But it seems here that, in other words, it's presented as though they have the option, that although Hashem seems to have wanted to go ahead, the option was given to Malachim to say no. Moinash, they came up with a good, why create man? They were going to be Rishon, man is going to lie, man is going to steal. Why? This was part of the humbleness of Hashem, that in this situation he presented sort of an option. He gave that bolt of electricity the option to be able to go south, to be able to go the opposite of the way it's normally designed. Why? So that this should be a lesson for mankind, as the Zohar said in the beginning, to know that when it comes to asking an Eitzah, you ask before a group. You don't present it to one. You ask a group of people sometimes, and from them you try to figure out what the best thing is to do. You understand?
You see, if I do understand it, you say that Hashem broke up. I mean, it's all Hashem was a unity, but he broke himself up into representative forces of opinion, and then he reflected backward to them.
Exactly. Now, note again, how
do you bring that down to us being overcoming?
So the answer is, now note, a malach, can we describe a malach in any physical terms? The answer is no. So we're limited. Can we use the word force? Some turkey on the street wants to use the word light. You can use it's cute. In other words, be called why? Because we have no other way to refer to them. Because these kinuyim, these nicknames, Kaviyoko Hashem allowed us to call him Elikim, Aleph, Aleph, Nun, all of these words.